Hello and welcome to the Buffering Podcast. My name is Adam Erdman.
I'm Dan Whalen.
And we are here in the Frank Oz Memorial Studio. He's not dead, he's just awesome.
That's right.
And we are here this day, December 14th. It's Wednesday, which is a little unusual for us. We like to record on Tuesdays, but
everything worked out this week, so it's okay.
Yep, we like to accommodate our guests and so on and so forth. So, speaking of guests, here we have joining us AJ, also known as Alex Johnson.
It's good to be back.
Yes, it's good to have you back.
I haven't seen you since Halloween.
It's been too long.
More than a month.
Indeed. And, of course, Robbie Kelland is here.
Hello, world.
Hello, Robbie.
How do you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry. It's just your name is so, like, mystical, magical that I...
It is magical.
I'm kind of intimidated by it.
Magical is the right word. It's actually pronounced Shelland.
Shelland.
If you, yes,
right.
It's very confusing. I go by Shelland, and my brothers go by Shelland. My parents go by Keeland. So it kind of depends. Some of our family members go by Keeland. Some go by Shelland. It depends on how proud they are of their Norwegian roots, I suppose.
Yeah. But so I guess I've been mispronouncing it all these years.
Most people mispronounce it.
I just always think of you as Robbie.
There you go.
Yeah, first name basis.
Yeah, exactly. It's Robbie. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Some people call me Erdman, which is a bit more German, I suppose.
Whelan.
But but yeah, Whelan. But I don't know. We always just go
Alex. Shit, it didn't work.
No, it just doesn't work.
Wait, what's your last name? Johnson?
Johnson.
That's also a tough one, so.
Johnson.
It's very hard.
Every now and then it's Johnston.
Sometimes it's Johnston. Johansson. Sometimes it's Johansson. Sometimes it's Johansson.
I would actually... Johansson? That would be...
Well, it's Swedish.
That's
and
nice.
The Johansson is actually the true pronunciation of it.
Oh.
But because Americans are stupid... My great-grandpa changed it to Johnson.
It
that's what we did.
Why? That's complicated, man. That's court scene.
No, just bring it back. Just start saying, no, it's Johansson.
It's just a pronunciation thing.
It is. That's exactly what my brother did, because we were always Keelan growing up, and then when he was in high school, he put on his cell phone, Eric Shelland, and then people just started calling him that because he started calling himself that, and technically, I guess in the U.S., we're supposed to be called Keelan because it's easier. But
again, Americans are dumb.
Americans.
Yeah.
Can't pronounce anything.
Europeans are cool. And so are Asian people. And African people and Australian people. And our Antarctican people.
And South American some people. Okay, American people.
Yeah.
Both North and South.
Yeah.
We have our moments.
Right.
Our moments, yes. We've got... What if we...
Where are you going with this?
I don't know.
Our moments?
This is one.
Anyway.
Moving on. I feel like I missed something. So,
no,
usually we talk about streaming media of sorts.
We do.
So a couple things to bring up. There's not a lot there, but I believe... I don't think I actually mentioned it here, but... Verizon, as in Verizon Wireless, and they also have some landline phones. Verizon is thinking about essentially getting their own Netflix. And tied to that, there was a rumor that Verizon was just going to buy Netflix. And so Netflix, in turn, saw a 6% increase in their stock, but not a lot else. So that's one thing... worth mentioning, but there's not really a lot that you can go off of for it, because it's like,
right.
Hey, there was a rumor, and then that rumor did something that doesn't really affect anybody.
Yeah. And
necessarily.
I mean, affected stock, but that was just a spike, really.
Yeah. A hiccup, almost.
Yeah.
So have they made a decision on that?
No. It's all hearsay at this point.
Okay.
Speculative. Mm-hmm. But I've also heard that Verizon is also starting to... are trying to develop their own specifically Verizon streaming service that would be separate from Netflix. So it, as far as I can tell, it wouldn't make sense for them to buy Netflix at all.
Well, I thought they were going to buy Netflix in terms of content and contracts and then turn it into their own thing.
Okay. That's a definite possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's that. And then on top of that, Netflix has changed their interface on iPads to suit better to the touch screen. But, I mean, they're always kind of, it's always a very garbled looking screenshot where it's just kind of a row of movies. And, you know, when you're on Netflix, there's not a lot of rhyme and reason unless you're on the genre page. It's just like, well, there's this thing that pops up occasionally, and then there's this category that pops up occasionally. But it's just that with more pictures and less words. Hmm. So it's just, it's very, you know, interesting for the higher end movies, but once you get into the depths of the B and C movie library that Netflix has turned into, ultimately, mm-hmm. it's probably going to look worse and worse. So here's hoping that they come up with a happy medium.
Mm-hmm.
But again, something that's not really interesting. I thought that it'd be more fun to talk about holiday movies and music and whatnot on a general sense, because it's getting up to that time, and we're going to have an episode next week, but then the week after that we have off.
Right, because I'll be out of town.
You'll be out of town.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah. So you're thinking, just talking about favorites and
just in a general sense,
what's out
based
there
on availability, because right now Netflix always does their yearly, hey, look, here are some Christmas movies, but they suck.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And I've made this point before where Emily made me watch Christmas in Handcuffs, starring Melissa Joan Hart and Mario Lopez.
Oh, my.
And it was an ABC Family original.
Bad news.
How did you survive?
I was sick, so I just let the delirium take over.
I don't remember.
That sounds like it would cause suicide in most people.
That sounds terrible.
When you go to the Christmas category, you're optimistic for a few things. And
I don't want to live anymore.
No, Clarence, no. I don't want to live, Clarence.
You were saying.
The best thing that I've seen out there is Jim Carrey's A Christmas Carol. And I say best in terms of highest quality thing out there. It's he did a 3D animated Christmas Carol very recently where almost all the characters were played by Jim Carrey.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I feel like I would really enjoy that.
My mother was watching it before I came over.
No?
I think you might have to be a really diehard fan to really jump on it. I'd say average 2.5-3 stars.
Really?
But it's probably better than the Jim Carrey How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes, that was...
Yeah, you know, the thing with that one is, I mean...
But he committed to the 3 hours of makeup every day.
Yeah. That was a lot.
Commitment don't mean nothing.
I remember watching the trailer
Ron
about
Howard
that.
Ron Howard even put it on.
Yeah,
once.
Ron Howard, come on.
The thing about that one was, I saw it back in the day, and I thought, pretty good soundtrack, and then I got the soundtrack.
Where Are You Christmas?
Oh my gosh.
I was just going to say, it gave us Where Are You Christmas, and for that I will always hate it.
I totally ducked that bullet, I guess.
Cindy Lou Who.
I know what you guys are talking about.
Okay. Cindy Lou Who's. Yeah.
But my folks somehow adhered to that soundtrack, so I still hear it
every now and again.
My parents do enjoy that movie, and when I used to live at home, we used to watch the movie every year. Since it came out every year on Christmas Eve, so
Erdmans, I love you to death, but seriously, please stop.
I mean, there are some good tracks on it, but for the most part, I'm like, wow, we've got stuff that's much better than this classic stuff, like the Boston Pops playing their Christmas medleys, and even James Galway, the famous flute player. With his orchestral backup doing all these wonderful tunes.
I went to Trans-Siberian Orchestra last weekend, and that was really good. It was excellent. If you like lasers and shiny things and a lot of head banging, then it is right up your alley.
Boy, I think howdy. Santa. I think lasers. Lasers. I mean, the two just go hand in hand.
They do. It's true.
It was fantastic. A fantastic show.
Even without that one guy...
Don't mind me.
That one guy?
Even without that one guy.
Yeah, there was a singer for TSO who died like a year or two ago.
I didn't know that. Most of their singers this year were female.
Oh, because they had a really good guy, and I'm forgetting his name. He had a really deep, rich voice.
Yeah.
And he was really good, and then it was like, oh, this guy died. And I was like, damn it!
Yeah, this year they had mainly women singing, and they had phenomenal voices. But I would have to say the highlight was the narrator, who had this deep, like, velvety voice. When he spoke, you just listened. And I remember there was a couple times, like, my heart started beating really quickly because I was like, wow, you have a voice. And he never sang, which really made me sad, but he really set the tone well. So
nice.
Very nice.
Very nice, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That sounds like fun.
Now, Dan, I know that you're going to agree with me on this when I say there really is only one Christmas movie that you have to watch.
I got two.
Okay, you have two, but you know which one I'm going for.
Yes, yes.
And in the Johnson household, the movie tradition has always been Muppet Christmas Carol.
Muppet Christmas Carol.
Muppet Christmas Carol. Okay, you have three.
No, I got four.
Okay, Mr. Magoo's Christmas.
Yes.
Mr. Magoo's Christmas. Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a Wonderful Life.
No.
That's a good one. I love It's a Wonderful Life.
No, but you're on the right track with the other two.
A Christmas Story?
No.
Christmas Vacation. That's become a tradition with our family.
Animated? Or just sort of...
Oh, the one we just watched on Saturday night?
No, not the claymation one. Okay. That one's a nice treat, but I wouldn't call that feature length.
That's B-list.
Yes. No, it would be... So, the Muppet Christmas Carol, Mr. Magoo Christmas Carol, the Santa Bear movie released by Deaton's.
Really?
Going back to them.
I don't know this.
I've seen
starring,
this.
Why can't I think of it? John Malkovich as Santa.
Whoa.
Wow.
And Bobby McFerrin as Santa Bear.
Interesting.
As in Bobby McFerrin as in Don't Worry, Be Happy, a cappella.
Here's a little song.
Those three. And then the other one.
Might want to see
Muppet Family Christmas.
Muppet Family Christmas, yes.
Don't worry. Mm.
Because it's not the same unless Christmas is at the farmhouse. With a combination of The Muppets and Sesame Street.
Fantastic.
Classic. But while we were talking about soundtracks, in my opinion, Muppet Christmas Carol has one of the best Christmas soundtracks to be found.
It's pretty stellar. I thoroughly enjoy the soundtrack.
I assume
that
it's the Muppets all the way through singing everything, correct?
No, that and Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine.
Okay. Michael
Caine. Okay.
Yeah, well, as if you've ever heard Michael Caine sing, which you haven't. Yeah. This is like the one movie where he sings and it's glorious.
I pass on The Love Is Gone. That one,
I would skip.
But that is a nice song, you know, from a distance. No. Hear me out.
It's but if I have to listen to it for more than about 5 seconds, no, thank you.
No, it's one of those songs where from far away, it just sounds, it, you know, you kind of get the melody, you kind of can understand where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, the singer was just kind of punchy on the words, where it's supposed to be this nice flowing melody, and just hitting a lot of the notes.
It's like,
really,
Scrooge, I hate you, I'm leaving now, and I'm just going to drive it into you.
Yeah.
Every note is
into
going to be
your
a nail
soul.
Into your soul. Yeah.
This is how you got the name Scrooge.
But really, it's
other
the
than
Statler
by birthright.
And, it's really the Statler and Waldorf, Marley and Marley.
We're that, Marley and Marley. Whoa!
That's a really great scene, but my favorite song is still It Feels Like Christmas.
Naturally.
Because that song I found is one of the few Christmas songs I can listen to outside of the Christmas context, and it still makes me feel fantastic.
Well,
that's a good song.
I mean, that's the whole point. Christmas is year-round.
Yeah. Keep Christmas in your heart the whole year round.
So it's doing exactly what it was supposed to, when you think about it.
Hmm.
How have you not seen that?
I'm not sure. I've missed out on this,
shame,
on this aspect of life.
Shame on you, shame.
Well, we'll have to remedy that.
I was gonna say, that's something we can
okay
easily rectify.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure at least 2-3 copies between us.
Yeah,
in one format or another.
Somehow.
Yeah. Maybe VHS back at your parents' house.
Probably.
VHS would be ideal.
I've got to take it easy on the table because it comes through the mics.
You're so angry with the table, AJ.
God, I hate you, table.
Setting your drinks down on that table. But anyway, yeah. Other Christmas movies that we love.
Well, one that we could talk about that's relevant only based on the fact that we're in the Minneapolis area would be Jingle All the Way.
Oh, was that the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and he had to get this specific action figure for his kid?
Did he break into someone's house?
He did a number of things. He and the comic Sinbad.
I was going to say, who was the other guy? It was Sinbad.
Who played a postal worker.
Yes.
Who was fighting alongside for this action figure.
How did that happen?
It was right around the time of Tickle Me Elmo and all of that, where people were fighting furiously. That's right.
Trampling each other to death in the streets.
Right up to Christmas for that one gotta-have-it toy.
That's right.
And with that, you know, they go all over, but it's all over Minneapolis, which is crazy.
Huh.
And Phil Hartman is his neighbor in it. And talks about how he had adopted a reindeer to make his family's Christmas more magical. But thereafter, he was going to release it down by Lake Minnetonka.
Oh, nice.
So it's a nice little throw to that, too.
Oh, that's good.
Ew. Cool.
Add a little nature. That's good.
I can say the only reason I don't like that movie is because when I was hospitalized in fifth grade, what was on the TV while I was sitting there in agony? It was Jingle All the Way. And so now I see that movie.
I thought you were going to say Last Action Hero.
No, it was Jingle All the Way. So now whenever I see that movie, I just get this pain in my stomach because I remember the whole situation all
over
again.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Painful that and Santa memory. Claus. It was like Jingle Santa All the Way Claus? And then the Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus.
I can't watch them.
Is that the one with Tim Allen where he has to take on...
Because he kills Santa?
Yeah, he kills Santa and then he has to become Santa.
In reality, gravity kills Santa.
You know what?
But he spooked him good.
Nope. Tim Allen killed Santa.
Yep.
Went outside with
remember
his gun,
that, kids at home.
Shot him down. Did you see the news story where there was a teacher in New York who told her class that Santa does not exist?
Really?
What
a young class.
Wow. What grade was it?
I think it was elementary school.
Oh, my. That's too bad.
That's
because
not
they were talking
right.
about geography.
Yeah.
And they talked about the North Pole. And multiple people said, Santa lives in the North Pole. It's like, there is no Santa.
Oh,
apparently.
My.
What?
Wow, that's even lower than I'd be willing
I know,
to stoop.
Right?
That's sad. Oh, man.
You gotta
keep New York.
Some magic. That's not cool.
It's not the job of schools to say whether or not Santa exists.
Right.
Schools should present the evidence and let the children decide for themselves.
That is so true.
Yeah. Or just go with Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what I would have to do.
Are you talking about the classic one or the Mara
classic
Wilson?
One.
I saw
not,
the
not
classic
the Matilda one.
One. Yeah. Yeah. Mara Wilson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her name. But, yeah.
Because that... either that was just on TV or Emily brought it over. I can't recall. I think it was during the... No, it's on Netflix at this point. It's one of the few good Christmas movies on Netflix right now. It's the classic Miracle on 34th Street. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, New York thinks he's real, so that teacher's obviously wrong.
Agreed.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. It was proven by the state of New York that Santa Claus exists.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Honestly, how could the state of New York be wrong?
That's a lot of people.
I mean, when has New York been wrong about anything
else? I don't think
it's
ever been wrong.
No, never.
Except for not defending itself as well against the Cloverfield monster.
Right.
That was
you
a
know
dark
what?
Time in
there
our
is
history.
That.
New York got caught with its pants down on that one, though.
Yeah.
They were just out partying, all of a sudden the monster's like, ah! They were like, shit. Monster.
So you like your Brooklyn Bridge?
Gah!
Too bad.
Oh boy.
Wait, so going back to the Emily Enter Christmas movie fetish, I really appreciate that.
Fetish.
Okay, whatever. She loves Christmas movies.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably a
obsession?
Bit too much.
Yeah, obsession.
Obsession. I'd say a bit too much, but did she make you watch Holiday Inn?
No, I had seen that on my own.
Okay, because I was going to say, that is the one movie that she and I definitely agree on. Holiday Inn, so good.
Mm-hmm. Except for the love interest part. That just seemed kind of like a... I would like to think that even at the time, I could objectively stand back and say, "You're a whore," and then just walked away. But obviously, it ruins the story. So you know,
there is no story.
Yeah.
Well, and then the whole Bing Crosby in blackface is just so classic.
Oh my. Okay. Yeah. And the, with classic movies like that, there's a certain level of forgiveness that goes along with that kind of thing. Like, oh,
that's
Bing.
That's when racism was okay.
Like, Bing, you beat your children and you're a racist. We understand, you know? It's
just keep singing that way you say.
Different place.
It's cool, whatever.
I'm going to close my eyes and go over here now.
Of course, Mad Men got away with it, too, if we remember correctly.
Yes. Beating children with oranges?
Yeah.
No. Oh. Blackface. They may have got away with beating children. I don't know. I wasn't on set.
Well, there was... Well, there was that time when the kids were running in the house, and one of the neighbors just smacks a kid who isn't his, and he says, "Slow down."
That's right. There is child abuse in Mad Men. Oh, God, boy. I love that show.
It's a clothesline.
1960s. Oh boy.
I actually read an article
Christmas
recently. Just well, I can sort of connect this to Christmas because apparently January Jones is really mean.
Really mean?
Yeah, like one of the little Draper children that plays, you know, they went through a couple of little boys, and he was like, "Stay away from January Jones. She will cut you."
Wow.
She will cut you.
I could kind of see that. I could see January Jones kind of being a little... abrasive in real life.
It's too bad.
In some ways, but...
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me, somehow. Based on the performances that she gives. The cold, frosty performances that she gives.
And she did totally slap up the daughter in one of the more recent episodes I watched. So
ah, yes.
More child abuse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm all caught up on Mad Men, so I must know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But. I got interested in Mad Men and got captivated for a bit, and it just kind of fell out. I couldn't commit because there were times it was just
beverage.
Like...
Continue.
You again. Just put the coaster on the floor to stop yourself from looking for
I'm
a coaster.
I'm still going to put it there.
Oh, well, it was worth a try.
Give him your pad for now or something.
Yeah, because...
That works. That works, too.
This thing is only to remind me of something for the game. But, So, yeah, that was our conversation about Mad Men.
That's a bit better.
Trying to bring it back to Christmas again.
My bad. Sorry for taking us on that tangent.
Oh, is there anything...
It's all related. Mad Men is
streaming. You've seen Christmassy recently to get you in the spirit?
I like movies like Love Actually, where I feel like Christmas is more of a... I mean, it is a theme, but it's not the main theme.
It's a background story.
It's kind of a background. It kind of sets the cheerful or like the...
Yeah, it's the spirit of the season. Yes.
Every now and then somebody pops up like, "Hey, by the way, it's almost Christmas."
Merry Christmas.
And then it just goes back to the other story.
Right, exactly. That's what I like.
Everybody's like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
it's Christmas.
Oh, thanks."
Oh, good. And then you feel warm.
Oh, tree. Okay.
Exactly. So you kind of have that like Christmassy feel where you're kind of warm and fuzzy inside. I like that kind of thing. Love Actually, I thought was a good movie.
So you'd be a fan of Home Alone as well then?
Home Alone's
a classic. Most definitely.
The first one and the second one.
And in that same sense of just being in the spirit of the holidays and the magic of the season and everything, the first Harry Potter for the first movie, that one, especially in the soundtrack, because there are some really nice Christmassy tracks on the first soundtrack that, I still connect back to Christmas, and they've kind of become part of the Christmassy repertoire, and I got that soundtrack for Christmas when the first Harry Potter came out and
absolutely.
Stuff like that, so, yeah.
Good stuff, yeah.
It is good stuff.
Sweet.
What else?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of. It's,
Other Christmas movies?
There's always the standard of Charlie Brown.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Brown Christmas.
Always comes about. And for some reason, for a combination of the Christmas and Halloween specials, if you bought them on iTunes, you got, like, two other cartoons with it. Like, not just separate sections, but one really long, continuous movie file. So it's like, okay, I just finished watching the feature, which for some reason is at the beginning, so that you have these other two that you don't care about at all. I didn't really understand it.
Interesting.
Interesting, indeed.
But I've, you know, I know that we've brought up the music before.
Yeah.
So I've
definitely mentioned that I've been listening to the Vince Guaraldi Trio,
yep.
Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack.
Absolutely.
That's on when I'm driving around in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Christmas music, something that I've always thought was interesting is I found while working at Target way back when, you know, the Christmas music kiosk.
Yep.
You know, you walk past it.
Yeah.
Starts playing horrible music. You want to shoot yourself every time. Mm-hmm. Like Alan Jackson had a song a long time ago called Let All the Bells Ring or some crap like that. And I heard the segments of that song so much that I went home and broke down the concept of it. It's like, okay, so this many people would be deafened, you know, this many people would suffer from other issues because all the bells in the world are ringing because of you, Alan Jackson, you bastard. But
stop it.
There was another CD that was out there that was just covers by modern artists. So there's Jingle Bells done by Bare Naked Ladies, which actually gets pretty funny. I'm trying to think of some. Guster contributes a track. A couple other reasonably recognizable names. And then Jason Mraz does... what does he do? I think he does... I just blanked on it.
I think he does Winter Wonderland.
Yeah, that's the one. That's one. Thank you.
I know my Christmas music. Yeah,
I've always remembered... I've had a dream to write a movie where somebody kills somebody to that song because it's too cheery. It's so, like, oddly cheery that it'd almost work well for, like, a Dexter episode where he's driving along. There's still some blood splatters. But just, you know, listen to the song, totally just enveloped by it.
Oh,
yeah, it was Winter Wonderland. Yeah, it's just...
Yep. Yeah.
It's like, you can't stop but just kind of get into the music a little bit. But it's always just like... You could be doing anything, and this song would make you cheerful and kind of bounce. It's like, yep, I could kill somebody and throw them in the back seat and just drive long. And have some fun.
I think I have my own song that does that for me. Adam is chainsawing an imaginary body here.
Walking in a little wonderland.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
The guy getting killed would sing along.
That... Yeah.
Dexter writers, there needs to be a serial killer Santa Claus that Dexter takes out to this song. Make it happen.
Jason Mraz could probably appear in the episode too.
Oh boy.
I'm sure he'd love to.
Maybe he could be the bad guy that Dexter has to kill.
Or victim number one.
The serial killer Santa Claus?
Holy crap. But yeah, and speaking of other Christmas music that we love.
Not just murderous Christmas music.
Harry Connick Jr. Have some random recording that my folks found, but it's all kinds of really awesome stuff. I think Jewel actually makes an appearance on there too.
Phenomenal.
It's
singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh no, I'm thinking of two different things. Nope.
Because Jewel appears on my...
There's a Harlem Boys Choir recording that has Jewel on it, and I think that's where they do Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But Harry Connick Jr. does lots of... He does Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, too, of course, and does it well with the big band backing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
I can't say I've ever been a huge Harry Connick Jr. fan.
I was an Independence Day.
Touché.
Was he in that?
Yeah, he was like a minor character in that.
Oh. Huh. Wow. I didn't remember
that.
If
we're talking about singers in alien movies, I think Tom Jones in Mars Attacks takes the cake.
That is very true.
Oh my.
But you were totally going somewhere with that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was mostly just saying, yeah, that's more holiday music that we love. You know, we're tying it all back together. It's out there streaming somewhere. I'm sure you can find it.
And Bobby, what is your favorite holiday song?
My favorite holiday song?
We'll take Christmas, you know, encompassing as well.
Okay. Well, that's a very difficult question.
If you want to think
one time we sang, I wouldn't say this is my favorite song, but when I was in high school, we, you know, you always have the holiday concerts.
Right.
And we sang a song that was all about fruitcake, and the entire song was just the ingredients to and how to make fruitcake. I literally think someone took a fruitcake recipe and went through it and just wrote it to music, because it was like, one lemon zest, and then it told you how to add it to the recipe, and that was one of my favorite things we ever did.
Adam and I can almost top that with the song that we did.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the guy's name first, the resident composer for Minnetonka?
Oh, was it Cary John Franklin?
I think it was.
Oh my gosh.
Cary John Franklin.
Yes.
And we had a song where the only words... I am a poet. I am very fond of bananas.
Yes, I am a poet. I am bananas. Am I a poet? I am very fond of bananas. I am bananas. I am fond of a poet. And it just went on and on like that.
And, you know, switching random time signatures and all of that, just like...
That
was a weird ass song.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how the fruitcake song was. Like, it was changing keys all the time, and it was really bizarre sounds. Like, really, it was a bizarre song.
Do you know who composed it? Because I have a feeling.
Dan's gut is telling us something here.
Return of Cary John Franklin.
Cary John Franklin.
His name was Franklin.
Tying it kind of back to high school choir.
I still listen to the Cold Winter Away, to tide the cold winter away.
Oh, that one. Wow. I haven't thought about that one
for
a while.
Or the sleigh that the
Chambers singers?
That was a good one.
Oh, wow. I don't remember how that goes at all. But I was just thinking about Noël Haïtien, the Haitian kind of French.
Did you sing that when you were a senior?
Yes.
Then I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
I kind
to
of
me.
Thought that that would that
halfway
was
through
the case
it's like,
because I remember
To drive the cold winter away. And what's her name played flute?
Oh, was it Abby?
Yeah, it was
Abby. Did Abby play? Yeah. Oh, that was nice. That was lovely.
I think and we can even tie this back to iCloud for a second and a half, because it's so fantastic to the point where I think that of the high school music that I have, I think it's that one song. But I'm just impressed with the fact that I can actually see my library on my phone right now, just because I'm by an internet source.
See if it works.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Hail to the days that merit more praise than all the rest of the year.
I mean, it didn't sound bad.
No,
high school wintry generic song.
Yeah, I remember it now. That was kind of nice. Feeling all nostalgic now.
AJ, do you have a favorite holiday or winter or something song?
I actually have two.
Two.
The first one is Dominic the Donkey by Lou Monti.
Mm.
You have to YouTube it, because they never play it, but it's pretty darn funny. And if you can find the... there's a particular YouTube video that just has a bunch of pictures of Santas and donkeys, and then one random photo of four different panda bears with Kiss makeup on.
Awesome.
Totally makes sense. Yeah, I get it.
It's out of nowhere, so look for that.
Dominic the Donkey.
Dominic the Donkey, Lou Monti, and then the other one is Marshmallow World by Dean Martin.
Yes.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And if you can find the recording of him and Sinatra doing it, they both look absolutely trash. it's on the Dean Martin show, and they're both just like, what are we doing here? Okay, we gotta sing now. Shit. Okay. All right. Let's start.
That's awesome.
It's really, really good stuff.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, man. I'll have to look for those.
Adam, how about
nice.
You? Oh, wait.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was two. I'm not.
Yeah, well, I mean, classic at my house, like number one album that is like we must listen to it is the Boston Pops one that I mentioned earlier. It's just a medley of all these classic Christmas songs played by this, you know, incredibly good orchestra, and it starts with this big bum 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 and bum 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 bum. And it goes on and on into joy to the world and through all these other classic tunes, and it's just nice. It's a solid recording, and so yeah, that's one that we must listen to. And of course, trying to duck the Grinch Who Stole Christmas as much as possible, because yeah, I mean, like I said, some of it's good, but most of it, I'll pass. I'll pass.
Most of it still ties back to that movie.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, like I mentioned, we have a really nice James Galway orchestral thing going on as well that we like to throw on. And then kind of going into the more obscure, there's this singing group called More by Four, and they perform at Orchestra Hall every once in a while, and it's these just really jazzy arrangements of you know, the classic tunes. But
I
it's,
do like it when they jazz up the classic tunes. I always think that sounds good.
Yeah, when it's done tastefully,
in the right way. I think that can sound really good.
Definitely. So that's another one that's just, it comes back every year, and I welcome it. So yeah.
Well, for me, I had mentioned that I really loved It Feels Like Christmas, Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic song. Another one, which I think I've mentioned on another episode as well, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Always a classic, yeah.
Specifically the Sammy Davis Jr. and Carmen McRae one, because that one's really funny at the same time. And then realistically, anything that's on that Christmas claymation thing. You know, the California Raisins doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They do a really good Joy to the World. We Three Kings.
I really like the We Three
Kings.
Yeah,
the camels are great.
With the camels, yeah.
Definitely.
I have not seen this, but it sounds intriguing.
Yeah,
it was a claymation Christmas special.
Okay. Oh, I might have seen like bits of
and pieces.
Yeah.
It was hosted by two dinosaurs.
Okay, yep.
Wasn't that the one with the Chorus of the Bells and all the
and the bells,
one, yeah. the one the bell retard, that's just not getting it.
Yeah.
Oh no,
the special
who
bell
who really phoned it in during rehearsals.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's anything from that. It's just that's I need to go through and rip all of those songs onto iTunes just so I can carry them around with me, because I've heard them enough. Like even the ice skating walruses to Angels We Have Heard on High. I just know it so well that every time that one of the walruses lands on a penguin, I know the sound.
That's funny.
But that's definitely something that I endorse for Christmas. But we are way past the halfway point.
Hey, all right.
But I think we should play some Movie Bluff.
It's game time. Yeah, we have a new game.
I know.
Which, AJ, I have caught AJ up on this.
Okay.
Do you know 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon?
No, but I know Kevin Bacon.
You are familiar with the concept of IMDb.com?
Yes.
Where if you type in a movie in the search bar, it brings up the list of
cast
and everything. And then you can click on somebody in the cast, and then you can see everything that they've done.
Yep,
and from there, you can click on the movie, and then you can find everyone else who's been in the movie. This is essentially that game.
Ooh. Okay.
So hypothetically, AJ would think of a movie, if you wouldn't mind. Something, you know,
Batman Begins.
Batman Begins.
Oh.
And he says cast, because that's how it always starts.
Yep.
So Adam has to either think of somebody who's in the cast of Batman Begins, or if he thinks that AJ can't think of anyone who from the movie Batman Begins, he can call his bluff. So Adam,
which I would not call his bluff in this case, because he can probably name about five people who were in Batman Begins.
So then,
but
Adam would.
I will say Michael Caine.
But before you say anything else, now that we've opened up the game, he can either say cast, and then I would have to also name somebody from the Batman Begins cast, or he could say movie, meaning that I have to name a movie that Michael Caine that's in.
Okay.
Right.
And one thing that I wanted to suggest as a potential occasionally used rule is the Kevin Bacon rule, where it's only actors to the point where we perpetuate some great cycles rather than getting stumped with the, oh God, who's that composer? Oh God, who's that director? Because those things will be very hit and miss depending on who you're talking to.
Sure. Okay.
Just as a potential, you know, sometimes we'll do the really challenging, you know, one version, and then we have the easy, entertaining Kevin Bacon rules.
Yeah, the fast, the clip along. Okay, cool. Yeah, I like that.
The one where it makes us seem really smart because we do well.
Yeah, and then another component of this, this game was my creation, but also let's say I say Michael Caine and then I say movie, and he names a movie.
Harry Brown.
Yeah, that Michael Caine has been in. He could also say movie, and then it would just be another movie that Michael Caine has been in.
Okay.
That's so another, because like that's going along with the
movie. Okay, so
actor.
We just have to be really attentive.
Thread. Yeah.
Okay, yep. I got it. I understand.
So, yeah. So, who would like to begin? Oh, nose goes? Oh, I guess it's me, because
yeah.
I was
watching it too.
Way behind on that, yeah. Okay, so we're going to start off easy
and
fun.
Oh, if somebody tries to call your bluff and you can actually do something, you get a point. If you call somebody's bluff and they are bluffing, the person who called the bluff gets a point. And then if you stump somebody to the point where they can't come up with anything, then you get a point. Every time that somebody gets a point, then we change direction and go the opposite way so we can still use the fun directional disc. So we start going clockwise.
Hooray. Okay.
Go ahead.
So, Star Wars cast. A New Hope.
New Hope.
That is.
Okay.
I don't watch Star Wars.
So I'm going to do Harrison Harrison Ford movie. So can you name a movie that Harrison Ford's in?
Yeah. What's that?
What's that one?
I can picture the front of it.
Harrison Ford was in at least one
thousand
other movie. probably.
What's the Julia Roberts? Runaway Bride? Was he in that?
I believe
you're thinking of Richard Gere.
Yeah, she's thinking of Richard Gere.
Oh,
yeah.
Shoot.
Think more general.
I don't know. I'm not good with movie names. Can I pass?
You can. Well, you'd be giving a point to Dan.
So would that be calling bluff?
Essentially, that would be saying that you think that I can't do it, but it's also I technically kind of stumped her at the same time.
Right. Right. So
I can picture him in lots of movies. I can't name movies.
Right.
We'll hope that it lands on you for actor then.
Yeah.
If you can think of people but not movie names.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Were you thinking of another rule?
I was thinking of Last Man Standing kind of concept, but that might go for a while.
Then
that's no fun for the people who are sitting out.
Exactly. That's the other thing.
Yeah. We want participation.
Okay. So I got the point.
Can you sound effects or something?
What happens is AJ thinks of the next one, but it changes direction, so it comes back to you first. So, AJ, you get to think of a movie to start it off.
Love Actually. Cast.
That one's easy. Which one do I want to choose? How about Liam?
Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson, yeah.
Do you want to do movie or cast? So do you want me to continue to name people in Love Actually or different movie? Oh, I really want to say Taken, but I'm not confident. I will just do Star Wars Episode 1. Cast.
Oh, boy. Okay. Ewan McGregor, cast.
Who?
Big Fish.
No, said sorry. Cast.
I said cast. Of
who else is in...
Episode 1.
Ray Park.
Oh, you're a dick.
Oh, boy.
Movie.
Oh, boy. I can name one.
I can't, but it goes
I
to Robbie.
I cannot. Bluff.
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. Yep, there it is.
I've not seen that, actually.
Who was he in Shaun of the Dead?
He was the
Pete?
Roommate. Yeah, he was a big roommate who was naked in the
really?
Shower.
Pete?
I thought that's
no
who it was.
No way. What?
Yep.
Yeah, he also voiced Darth Maul for, like, all two lines of Darth Maul's speech.
Right. Okay. All of his audible noise.
Wow.
Sorry, that was a dick move on my part, so I will actually retract that. If that can I
okay.
do that?
You can, if
you can,
like.
But it starts with me and goes back to Robbie anyway, so it'll
that's fine.
Kind of keep going around.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
So, okay.
So, AJ has a point, I have a point. And my movie to start off. Elf cast.
You guys are making this easy on me now.
I like to start it off easy so we get, you know.
Yeah, okay, we like to get the ball rolling.
Will Ferrell. And we'll do cast.
Zooey Deschanel.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
movie.
Yes. 500 Days of Summer, cast.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, movie.
I don't know. Bluff.
He's in G.I. Joe.
Was he in G.I. Joe?
Yeah, he was the brother.
Oh my gosh, he was. Wow.
But okay. He won't be returning for the new one. I guess.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, me neither.
But Bruce Willis is in that one.
Really? Mm. He's going to be in the next...
He's going to be in the new G.I. Joe.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Well, job, I guess I have 2 points then.
Nice.
2 points.
And AJ has one. And AJ, you start again, and Robbie, it goes to you right away. But it is going from movie mm-hmm. to actor, so it's going in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm trying to think of something nice and broad here.
Well, I'll just do a Christmas movie to, you know.
Well, let's go with actually Hairspray, the newer one.
I haven't seen the movie Hairspray. I've only seen it on stage.
Okay, never mind. Let's strike that.
Hey, on stage? Where did you see it on
I'm
stage?
I'm seeing it again this weekend, actually.
Really? Is it here
in
right
Chanhassen.
Oh.
Yeah,
but I saw it in Chicago a couple times.
Sweet.
How about Chicago?
Have you seen that movie?
Have you seen
the movie Chicago?
Yeah, the movie Chicago.
Mm-mm.
That's a
guys,
good one.
I'm failing.
That's a good one.
Just kick me out.
Christmas movie.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It's tricky. It is.
I want something nice and broad and open here. Independence Day.
Independence Day. Wasn't
cast?
yeah, I saw that many years ago. Let me make sure I'm thinking of the right movie. That's one where he goes up in the.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly right. Yes.
That's a very apt description.
He goes up in the.
Very good.
That's Independence Day.
Will Smith.
There you go.
Yep. So do you want to do cast or
let's
movie?
Do cast.
That would be Bill Pullman is still in the cast.
Ooh. Bring it. You want to do cast again?
I'm going to say movie.
Okay. I'm going to say Casper.
Yeah.
Cast.
There's some good ones hidden in there.
I know.
One.
I'm trying to think of which way I want to go with this. Well, we'll go with Macaulay Culkin.
Is what's not in it. He is not the little boy.
He is not the little boy.
He is not.
Mm. Ooh.
He kind of looks like him, though, doesn't
he?
I was wrong. Okay.
When he comes to life?
Yeah.
It does kind of look like
him. I thought
that
was him.
No, he turned out to be a different... I think he did a couple other projects, but not...
Okay, well then, yeah. Christina Ricci. Movie.
I would have said Casper.
There was another childhood movie in there.
Was she in Now and Then? Look it up.
I will look it up.
I would believe you.
Wasn't
actually.
She like the young Rosie, or you know, like look
the
it
tough
up.
Kid.
Yeah. She kind of plays a tough kid.
The tomboyish.
Yep, she is definitely in Now and Then.
Now and Then.
Okay, so now I have to
cast.
Okay.
Ooh, I gave you one though.
Yeah, because I was going to say the only one that I could think of was Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah. I'm going to say movie.
Did you say Rosie O'Donnell for
I did.
Your other person in that movie?
Yes.
Okay. And then you said movie?
Movie. So we Rosie can get O'Donnell. Off of this one.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of very much else for that cast.
Rosie O'Donnell. Holy crap.
I've got two.
I've got one.
Okay.
But the other one's kind of cheap.
Oh my gosh, what is that movie? I can hear her voice in my head. And
that's not normal.
Usually they lock people up for that sort of thing.
And
what is it? Somebody chuckled at that. I don't care.
Oh my gosh, it's like an animated movie or a CGI movie.
Oh.
Where she's in it and she plays the voice of someone.
Yep.
And
what
is it?
Is
it? Oh my gosh, you can all think of it, I'm sure, now.
There is another big one out there.
Oh boy.
At least one. Mm-hmm. I can think of another one now.
Okay.
She has a lot of voices.
Oh, yes, Tarzan. Cast.
Brian Blessed.
Cast. Yes.
He was Clayton.
Yeah.
Oh. Clayton.
Brian Blessed was Clayton.
My favorite actor of all time.
Really?
Our favorite actor of all time, yes.
Hello, I'm Brian Blessed.
Don't touch my ass.
No horses.
I don't think I can name another cast out of Tarzan.
Blood. Sorry.
So that's another point for me.
Yes.
That's another point for AJ.
Everyone wants to sit next to me. Sorry, Adam.
Oh, well.
Two for myself, two for AJ.
I got to pick more vicious, difficult things in order to earn some points here.
It starts with me, goes to you.
Okay.
But I feel like the pace is moving a bit quicker today. It's nice.
Yeah. I'm going to say the Santa Claus cast.
Tim Allen. Movie.
Ooh, got one.
Toy Story. Mm. Cast.
Right. Tom Hanks cast.
I just blanked on his name.
I've got one really evil
one. Okay. So I need to think of... Oh, no, shit, that was the second one. Because I was thinking of... Never mind. Lumen plays a lot of stereotypical Jewish wife characters. Mrs. Potato Head.
Mrs.
Oh! You may have to check this. But I'm going to say Harry Morgan as the head of the army men.
No, that's not right.
It isn't?
It's Arlie Ermey.
shit.
That's a point for me.
Yeah, it is.
How do you guys know these things?
Yeah.
I don't own a television. Maybe that's why.
Arlie Ermey is a pretty stereotypical...
Army
guy, yeah.
Cool. So
oh,
I get a point.
I'm an idiot. I was... Oh, shit. I switched the names. Oh, that's right. That's not Harry Morgan. But he just died recently, so that's unfortunate.
He was also Dexter's father.
Oh.
That's true.
No, I mean...
That character name.
Yeah, the character, not the actor.
Dexter's father. That's what I thought of, too.
So that means, Robbie, you get to start, and it comes back to me. So think of a movie that
a
you
movie?
Could...
Are we keeping score?
Yeah, you have one, two.
Okay.
Still in the game.
Okay.
Zero.
Participant.
Ooh, a movie. How about...
Currently bronze medal for you.
Woo, at least it's a medal. How about... Let's go with... The Holiday. That's a Christmas movie, right?
Yes.
That takes place at Christmas.
I assume cast, yeah?
Yep, it's mm-hmm. always cast to start out with.
Always cast.
Movie. The Holiday.
Damn it!
Movie. The Holiday. Movie. The Holiday. Nobody wins. You must play forever.
I'm going to say Dustin Hoffman cast.
Bluffing. I say you are bluffing.
I can't name Jack Black.
Oh.
Or Kate
I guess
Winslet.
You can.
Yay, I win!
Oh.
Damn you, Adam!
Okay.
I win!
Bugger. Okay.
We've had a conversation about that movie on this show before.
We have. I was thinking of a different movie. Because I was...
What were you thinking of?
I was probably thinking about our conversation when it was turned to classic movies. So maybe I was thinking about Holiday.
Holiday, yes.
Oh,
that could have been.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, because Dustin Hoffman and Bing Crosby. What a great duo. Those two together.
Classic.
My brain works silly sometimes.
This works out perfectly.
Hey, look at that.
We're just about at the hour mark, so it's a perfect time to wrap up.
Cool.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. Robbie, do you have anything coming up that you would like to plug in terms of activities that you are aware of or participating in that you'd like other people to know about in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, let's see here. Honestly, this isn't really a plug, but Garrison Keillor is going to be back in St. Paul in January with shows. And
hey, awesome.
Who really knows when he's coming to an end? So everyone should get in there and go to
good,
a show.
Good time at the Fitzgerald?
Yes, okay. Yes. So he'll be there, and he's not really sure when he's retiring. So
I've been to a few live tapings there. Great,
I've heard they're great.
Great place. And when I've been there, it's open seating, so if you get there early, you can snag one of the opera boxes, which is what I've done before.
Nice. Hey. And you can also sit on the floor.
Yeah, it's a really good, interesting time. I got to go see a couple authors that I've read their books, so...
Mm, cool.
He's always a good interview if you don't look at his face. I'm sorry, Garrison. I love
close your eyes.
You're
and
great
soak
for radio.
I love you to death, but radio face.
That's all I've got right now.
Not that I don't have one of those too.
Welcome to the podcast.
And then, are you on Twitter? I probably asked this. Every
not
time.
On Twitter.
Not on Twitter. Okay.
Oh no, I did start a Twitter.
Oh, I thought it was down.
I've never actually used it though, but I have a lot of people following me, and I apologize to all of you that haven't said anything.
Do you remember what your Twitter username was, so that more people can?
I would assume it's robbalee.shelland, which is KJELLAND.
We'll see how many additional like follows you get as random.
That is really exciting. Hey, yeah, follow me. I'll say something.
I'll apologize to you for wasting your time.
Tweet number one. Sorry, everyone.
Sorry, everyone.
Gotta go.
Now.
See you next time.
Bye-bye. Excellent. Doing stuff. Bye.
So, AJ, you are
not
incredibly busy
on
but
Twitter.
Yeah.
What are you are you aware of anything on your horizon that you want to plug of any sort?
The only thing I have to plug is a very good book I read recently.
Mm.
And the reason I picked it up is because I was actually taking a class from the guy who wrote it.
Cool.
And it is called The Ottomans in the Age of Exploration by Giancarlo Casale, and it essentially talks about a period in Ottoman history that no one really talks about, and it's a discussion of, you know, when Magellan was sailing around the world, and the Spanish and Portuguese were doing all this stuff in the New World, how the Ottomans were really doing a lot of expansion in the Indian Ocean, and they came into conflict with Portugal a lot, and it's just really interesting because no one's really touched on the subject. And he makes a few excellent points about why that hasn't happened. So look it up. Very good book. Very quick. Quick for me. I finished it in about a week. It's not sizable, but it's dense in subject matter. So very interesting if you happen to be a history fan.
Cool.
There you
very
go.
Cool.
That does sound very intriguing.
And AJ is not on Twitter.
No.
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 You cannot make me convert.
He cannot be followed.
Nay, nay.
How about you, Adam?
Hey, you know me, kids at home, unless this is your first episode. At ADAMERDMANN. It's just my name. It's straightforward.
Two
and
N's.
Things to plug? I mean, other than people stalking you at the bank.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh.
Wells Fargo's cool and stuff. For serious, I'm not joking. But
I thought Wells Fargo was giving away ponies.
They are giving away ponies.
What?
Yeah, to new accounts, or if you refer a friend and they.
What
get
if
a new
I
account?
Wear a mustache on top of my existing mustache? Will it confuse them enough where I could go and get a pony?
If you were opening a new account as your alternate persona and you had
the documentation to support it?
Yeah.
More importantly, I know a very small young lady who really likes ponies.
Yeah.
What is the age restriction on opening an account?
Actually, if she doesn't have accounts yet, I'm sure you're thinking of Princess Mary.
I am thinking of Princess Mary.
Okay. Well, for her, all you would have to do, I mean, if...
Ponies!
If you're her legal guardian, then you could open an account for her. You could open a nice little savings account for her to deposit her chocolate or
yeah.
Something.
Lovely.
Chocolate.
Excellent.
Anyway, so, yes. You could get her like a safe deposit box.
Right.
Something like that.
Can we fill the safe deposit box with ponies?
I'm sure we can.
Okay.
Would have to be
poor
small
ponies.
Ponies are by their nature smaller than horses.
It's true.
Therefore, they can fit in a
safe deposit box. I don't know if there's air in those.
It's science. There's like a
shove a carrot in there.
Who forgot to feed the ponies?
Yeah. Oh, it does.
I'm looking at you.
No.
The safe does smell kind of funny, but anyway, there is ventilation in there. I do know that.
Mm.
So you wouldn't die if you were locked in a safe.
That's
just
good.
For
that's
your
very
information.
Hungry.
Yeah, but what if you were in a deposit box? Like, how sealed are those?
You could breathe.
Like,
I mean,
if I had a very rare goo and no housing for it, could I quickly shove it in there and close the door and lock it and it wouldn't leak out?
Oh.
Or would it and I lose my fantastic goo to the person right below me?
Oh.
Have you invented flubber?
I believe
it's more like runny eggs. But, you know, I figured soon they'll be valuable, so I need to hold on to them.
I would recommend putting your goo in a Ziploc bag and then putting it in your safe deposit box.
But what if I spent all of my money to buy this goo? I can't afford bags. Your bags confuse me.
Then Wells Fargo will provide you with
okay,
a
good.
Ziploc
oh, yeah,
bag.
I'll be fine then.
I will personally get
donate.
You a Ziploc bag.
Go
yes.
to his Wells Fargo.
We aim to please.
I'm bringing some eggs in next week.
For all your,
I need the shells.
For all your goo storing purposes, the Wells Fargo safe deposit box.
Noted.
We'll keep it in a lock box and put it on a stagecoach and send it to San Francisco for you.
And somebody will eat it on the Rice-A-Roni and it'll be fine. But so I have Twitter as well. It's Dan L. Whelan, W-H-E-L-A-N. You can find the Twitter feed for the podcast at Buffer Podcast, since buffering didn't fit as a whole. Buffering Podcast. We have our website, bufferingpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter.
And on iTunes.
And on iTunes. And on... That's about it.
Yeah.
But check it out anyway. And we have a lot of bonus tracks on the website, including the mic check that we did where I told stories about being a mascot.
Yep. And other such fun things. And
other bonus tracks and bonus games and other conversations and stuff. So definitely check that out. And you can also find the Frank Oz Memorial Studio on Foursquare if you're ever here. So feel free to check in if you stop by. And yes, that's all I have.
Yes, that's all for today. Thank you so much for listening.
All right, see everybody next week.
Farewell.
Say bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.